I'm Ken Hemmings, and he is Chris Lang, and welcome to another of these regular property briefings. Again, a warm welcome to you, Chris.
Thank you.
In a couple of earlier podcasts, you covered a number of key aspects on negotiating. However, what should our listeners do when things start to drag, or when they simply find themselves reaching a stalemate?
Well, my advice would be just simply take a breather. Now, that might sound a little simplistic, but often that's all that's needed for you or the other party, just to gather your thoughts and save face while subtly changing from an earlier stance that you might have taken during the negotiation. And if you know that a negotiation is going to extend over a long period of time, particularly on the one day, then it's often useful to agree to have hourly breaks at the outset. And that way, you're going to be able to better focus on what it is that you're seeking to achieve, because you just have that chance to step back and, as I said, just get your breath, refocus your thoughts, and then not be distracted. Push those distractions aside and get back to the main game.
There must be more to it than that.
Yeah, look, of course there is. And as I mentioned just a moment ago, it's getting rid of the distractions. And quite often that comes down to distinguishing between the hard facts of what's going on and some of the fictitious or spurious statements that are being made by the other party. And sometimes you need to verify that rather than merely accepting what's been said at face value. And you may not be able to do that on the spot because you don't have the facts and figures at your disposal. But sometimes just asking a simple question like, well, that sounds interesting. How did you arrive at that conclusion or that aspect of what they're putting forward? So it's important that you deal in facts with a negotiation if you want to have a successful outcome. And so, as I said, you need to evaluate them, determine whether they're relevant, and then in turn present sound, well-thought-out arguments to counter any of the inaccuracies that are going on. I mean, quite often you may well know that what they've said is wrong, and in that case you can refute it on the spot. But as I said, just gently, without in any way being antagonistic, you can query what they say. And as I said, if you preface it by something like, well, that sounds interesting, just tell me more. And sometimes people make strong, even outlandish statements. And if they go unchallenged, as more often than not they will, they don't have to back them up. But as soon as you gently probe a little deeper, well, then sometimes you find that the substance is not there to back up the statement that they've just made. So, as I said, once you determine the difference between fact and fiction, it is also a matter of identifying any grey areas. Now, as you progress through a negotiation, you might find that to mount a counter-argument that you are actually lacking information yourself. You may have hard facts on one area, but as the negotiation's taken a slightly different direction than you planned, you may need to do a little bit more research. And therefore, it's not unreasonable for you to ask for the negotiation to be reconvened. I mean, there can be any manner of excuses that you have. And if you know that you can resolve the lack of information with a phone call, you might simply just say, look, can we just have a coffee break for 10 minutes and then let's come back together? So, as I said, a quick phone call. If not, you might simply say, look, I think we've gone as far as we can today. How about we touch base and either set up another time in the future or agree now when that time might be, which is a soft way of just deferring the discussion until you have the facts and all figures at your fingertips to mount the most persuasive case you can.
I imagine that some people can also become quite emotional at times.
Yeah, look, people can become pretty excited and emotional, and sometimes for the strangest reasons. And, you know, as much as you might feel justified or goaded to lose your temper, you've got to keep your anger in check, and threats to the other party are not acceptable in a negotiation, and in fact, they're disrespectful. You see, when anger prevents a negotiation from progressing, you need to put that emotion aside. You simply need to, and sometimes what you do is you do it by introducing a third party so that, and that's not as a mediator, just another party in the negotiation, because it completely alters the dynamics of the negotiation. Because while they might have been happy to arc up or sound off against you, to do it in front of a third party whom they might not know is going to make them look a little stupid or a little overly aggressive. And you'll find that that can often, just that simple move, can often prevent that earlier anger from resurfacing. But you need to understand that the anger is generally a reflection of the importance of the issues involved. And sometimes the quickest way to resolve that or cool that anger is to tackle a fresh issue in order to diffuse it. So you might simply say, look, how about we just leave that on hold for the moment? What about we talk about such and such? And because the next issue has no emotion and anger related to it, you start to get a few points of agreement, and then you come back to that earlier issue. And as my daughter says, by that time they've probably cooled their jets, and you can progress it in, you know, something of a more sensible manner. But, you know, sometimes, you know, emotions and words do get in the way, and you know, either you or they or both of you might be so intent upon getting across a specific point or resolving a minor issue that you momentarily allow yourselves to lose sight of the bigger picture. So sometimes what you might need to do is to say, look, how about we just simply agree in principle on that, and then just move on to the next item. It's another way of saying we'll come back to it, but you're going to improve your chances of walking away with a mutually satisfactory outcome, because all you need to do is to change your approach without actually altering your intent. And, you know, quite often, as I said, just agree in principle. And sometimes you might even agree to disagree. And that's when you say, look, you know, let's agree to disagree on that one. We haven't quite resolved it. Let's move on to the next item and we can come back to it. So I find that's probably the best way to do it. It's not that you're frightened of an argument, but an argument's not going to get you anywhere. It's just going to, once the emotions start to raise, you start to lose perspective, you certainly lose control, and logic and reason tends to go out the window. So there's no place for emotional outbursts during a negotiation.
Are there any other ways to help diffuse the situation?
Yeah, there are a couple of other ways to diffuse the situation. And again, this might sound simple, but just by changing the location of the negotiation can often help to get things moving again. I mean, it may be that the noise level or just even the general ambience of the where you start the negotiation, that in that particular spot, that's actually contributing to your lack of progress. And, you know, sometimes if you might even offer to go back to the other party's office and hold the talks there as a sign of good faith. I mean, from a negotiating point of view, it's much better, you know, if you want to exert some sort of power to hold them in your office or a location of your choosing. But generally, just changing location, moving to a neutral location where no party has a particular advantage, will often serve to diffuse the way things are. In other words, you just call if it's, you know, mid-afternoon and you know, things are getting a bit late. So, look, why don't we reconvene, and instead of coming back here tomorrow morning, let's meet in your office, or let's meet at a cafe or somewhere that's handy to both of you. And as I said, just A, the new location, but B, just the break overnight can quite often allow people to resume their composure and make the negotiation far more productive. One other way, and we sort of mentioned this before about bringing in a third party, but that was just earlier, just have them sit into the negotiation, not actually contribute anything. But if you bring in a third party from outside, that person can quite often play the role of a mediator without necessarily being nominated as a mediator, just by simply objectively hearing both of you present your respective positions. Quite often, just the process of doing that and having to logically and unemotionally argue the various positions, either or both parties end up voluntarily conceding issues and items on their list of points that they want to cover or obtain, mainly because when explaining it to a third party, it doesn't quite make as much sense as it did when there was a bit of emotion flying around and self-interest was paramount. And that person, the third party, can often give you his or her take on the situation and provide each of you with some new ideas on how agreement might be reached. And they may come up with a out-of-the-box solution that no one had even considered. And it enables you to actually both win, maybe even do better than what you had in mind, because it just comes at things from a totally different perspective. So it's always good to seek outside help whenever the talks are really seriously deadlocked and, you know, both you and the other party genuinely want to reach an agreement. I mean, there are some times when it's clear the other party is just stonewalling and just effectively wants you to walk away from it because they don't want to do a deal. But if the two of you do, then bringing in that third party can often resolve that impasse or deadlock.
So far, we seem to have been focusing on the other party. Are there any things you yourself can do to break the impasse?
Sometimes when, as I said, whether you're negotiating as a team or individually, there's going to be a point where you do need to pause the negotiations, as I said, and step back and just give you a chance to evaluate what you've achieved so far. So when you do have that break, and it's not just a matter of you know wanting to settle emotions here. You realize things aren't going as planned. So you need to start by writing down all the positives. You know, make a realistic assessment of where you are and what ground you've covered, what you've gained. And that way you can accurately gauge your progress. And after that, you can start to determine whether or not your initial objectives ought to be prioritized or reprioritized. So it may be that you've achieved a couple already, but in doing so, you realize that the order on the list can be varied, and that will help reach finality. Now, you'll find this by doing this, that you'll regain enthusiasm, and it really helps you refocus your attention and your efforts towards reaching a real agreement with the other party. But also, you need to understand going into every negotiation that you will have a best outcome for each point that you're negotiating. But you also need to have a second best outcome and sometimes a third best outcome. In other words, you shoot for the ideal, but you actually have a fallback position. And then you have a what we'll call an irreducible minimum. So you have the ideal, a fallback, and figure or point at which you will actually walk away from the deal. So you never enter a negotiation with only one acceptable outcome in mind. And being a good negotiator means that you do have that fallback position. And negotiation has to be fair. It's not you being a dictator and deciding that's exactly what is going to happen, and if it doesn't, well, the deal's off. There are some people that tackle it that way. You know, they're very autocratic, and it's not. It's a democracy, you know. I mean, and knowing when you need to collaborate is the key. Now, if you've given a particular issue your best shot and at least come away with your fallback position, then you ought to feel that you're satisfied with the agreement that you've reached.
How would you like to tie all of this together?
Probably the main thing you should take away from today is the need to distinguish between objectives and position. So even top negotiators can find themselves getting locked into a position and losing sight of their actual overall objectives. If you find the other side doing this, what you need to do is to help them look beyond the position to the underlying issues and concern. And if you can do that, you'll find a way to step around the conflict. And it's sometimes a bit of a challenge to unearth what the other side's objectives are, but you'll often find it's quite revealing when you do. And simply by asking the other party as to why they hold on to that particular position that they've stated, you'll actually help them uncover what the actual reasons are, some of which may be quite irrational. And in the light of day, when they actually explain or try to explain their position, even they see that their logic is really quite foolish. So, you know, it's just an interesting thing because, as I said, you get to distinguish between your objectives, what you're trying to achieve, and the position where you are coming from and the substantiation that you're providing. But look, when all else fails, sometimes it's worth just simply saying, look, why don't we just brainstorm for a few minutes? You know, it might be 10, 15 minutes. Let's just see if we can just throw out some ideas. And some of them might be quite wild, even ridiculous at first. But if nothing else, what it helps the two of you is to become a little bit more creative. And in the process of doing that, something might surface that provides you with some common ground on which you can actually reach some agreement. But, you know, hopefully what I've done in these, in the short time we've had together, is just provide you with some ideas that, that can help break the impasse. And I'm sure, you know, after a while, if you practice them, they'll become reflex, but you'll actually develop your own techniques simply by stepping outside the problem. So hopefully that's been helpful.
Basically, it all comes down to understanding human psychology and being able to handle the situation unemotionally.
Yeah, you're right. None of this is overly complicated, yet the key lies in understanding what's required before you go into a negotiation.
I like it. Thanks for the helpful advice, Chris.